New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Fires and completes it to Gronkowski. Touchdown!
We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open. 929-477-2386.
What's going on, Pats Nation? This is the CLNS Radio New England Patriots postgame show, brought to you by FanDuel. Join the CLNS Radio FanDuel League and compete amongst the host and the rest of the CLNS family and fans at FanDuel.com/Patriots. We just got done with Bills versus Patriots at New England, and this game was ugly. Bills 16, New England Patriots 0. Yes, I said it. Bills 16, New England Patriots 0. I am your host. Marvin is on. I also got my co-host with me, Mr. Mike Knight.
Yeah, man, what a game. What a game, DJ Mees. Ugly game, just like you said. Patriots getting shut out at home. Couldn't believe what we saw. But at the end of the day, you always got to find silver lining sometimes. And I tell you, that silver lining is coming week 5 and when the Golden Boy returns to the team.
Definitely, definitely. It was ugly, Mike. Nice. LeSean McCoy, running back for the Buffalo Bills, went off. I mean, the stats weren't that crazy. 19 carries, 70 yards. Receiving, he had 6 receptions, 38 yards, and a touchdown. But he was just making the Patriots defense look silly. He showed his speed, those cuts that we realized what he had in Philadelphia, and just the Patriots defense looked silly out there this week, just missing tackle. They didn't let up a lot of points, just letting up 16, but overall it was just an ugly game, Mike.
Yeah, man, it was like the Patriots didn't really show up. It's like they said, okay, you know, we started off the season getting the win in Arizona, getting the win against the Dolphins, getting the win against the Texans, and they just took this week off and said, you know what, we're going to have 2 bye weeks this year. This is going to be one of them, and let's get ready for week 5. So it was an ugly game all around, just like you said. Defense, terrible. Offense, terrible. Man, can you be too mad? This, I mean, from the beginning of the season, you know, when we talked about everything leading up, we said, how are the Patriots faring these first 4 games? And I bet if we took a poll to start, a lot of people said 3-1. And as we get ready to enter into week 5, this is where we sit at now with a 3-1 record, waiting for Tom Brady to return to the lineup.
We also got our guy, Michael Laundrie, working the switchboards. Mike, what did you see in this game?
Man, guys, it was ugly out there today. The thing that really stood out to me was the penalties. I mean, I think they at last count, they had 9 penalties for over 80 yards. It was just a really ugly game. It really started bad from the beginning. I mean, Cyrus Jones, with the indecision, taking the ball out of the end zone, pins the Patriots back deep, and then really it just snowballed from there. It was a poorly offensive executed game. You know, a lot of guys out there. Honestly, guys, I think Brissett couldn't really throw the ball that well. I think that's why they were doing the short passes, why he was missing on those deep balls. You know, they were running the ball like crazy today. So I really think it was because Brissett, I think they honestly thought Garoppolo would be able to play, and he eventually couldn't go. They put Brissett in there, and he probably couldn't play either, you know, in perfect circumstances. So, you know, honestly, it's a tough one, but like you guys said, it's pretty much everybody picked the Patriots to go 3-1. Down this stretch. Now, everyone thought they were going to lose the opener to Arizona as opposed to the game against Buffalo, but we all know division games are tough, and, you know, it's just going to be like that. So, long story short, Tom Brady's back at 12:01 a.m., you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I have no doubt he will be in the facility at 12:02. Like, he will be there.
I like that punctuality right there.
I think it's going to happen, man. So I think, you know, this is where the season starts from here on out. Does anybody doubt that Tom Brady can go 11-1, 12-0 down this stretch here? I have no doubt. I think the Patriots have an easy shot at 14-2 still. You know what I mean? So tough game for this one, but, you know, hey, The Bills just look like the better team out there today.
They definitely look like the more hungry team, more inspired. I agree with you with Brissett. He didn't look right. His deep balls, they were just floaters. You didn't really see him zing it through. He missed a lot of players. It just wasn't pretty. It wasn't a pretty game. But let's now open up the Blue Apron call lines. Get three free meals with free shipping by simply going to blueapron.com/CelticsBeat. You can call in at 929-477-2386. Once again, that is 929-477-2386. And we actually got a call on the line. We got our guy Nick from Tampa. What's going on, Nick? What did you see in this ugly Bills versus Patriots game?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? And Mike and Marvin, it's good to be with
you
again. I called in last Thursday after the reverse results occurred, where we shut out the Houston Texans, and now we have the opposite. Before I get started on the hot takes or whatever it is on the observations of the game, just want to give a shout out to Nick Gelso and the Celtics post game show. They got big things going on this season. Major moves going. So, I help out with their show occasionally, so definitely want to give a shout out to them. And think about positive things coming up instead of this negative game. But I agree with Mike Alonji. Definitely the penalties were some ridiculous stuff. I mean, not to be the conspiracy theorist, but, you know, I feel like the Roger Goodell's fingerprints might have been on this one a little bit. It just seemed like there was just a little bit too much going on. But honestly, it was really, I mean, we couldn't tackle, no discipline on defense. I mean, there were so many times where guys like Jabal Sheard, I remember watching a few times, had his hands on Taylor and just couldn't bring him down. No tackling, Mike said, LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy making us look silly, just, you know, reversing field, dodging tackles, making us miss, just terrible. And Brissett, I mean, it's one thing when you have, you know, a rookie and he's confident and he's healthy, but I think the fact that, you know, he had the messed up finger, I heard there was multiple different reports, I think, during the week of the long week of, you know, just how bad his finger was, that his finger might need surgery or what was going on with his finger. The fact that, you know, they were hoping, like somebody said, Garoppolo might be able to go, and then I guess, you know, game time decision, he wasn't able to make it. So it was kind of one of those situations where if the team, you know, if the other team's defense pretty much knows what you're going to do and knows you're going to rely heavily on the run game and knows that the pass game isn't really going to be all that solid, there's not really much you can do. The defense, for as, you know, as bad as it looked, I mean, they still only held them to one touchdown and three field goals. Made, you know, there was a missed field goal in there as well. And there really wasn't much that the offense gave them to work with. I mean, there wasn't, you know, great field position. There wasn't really, and they were out there a lot. The Bills' time of possession, I think, was like they had, like, you know, two-thirds of the clock or something close to that. Definitely far more than half of the game was in the Bills' possession. So the defense, not sure how gassed they were, but, I mean, it's kind of demoralizing when you're continuously going out there and having to, you know, carry the team. And, you know, you saw at the end of the game, though, that discipline, that lack of discipline, that breakdown just kind of, you know, really, really wore down on the game. Really wore down on the defense. For me, it's not really the fact that we lost, because I think, as was already mentioned, most reasonable Patriots fans predicted 3-1. Some may have even thought maybe 2-2. And most of us thought maybe it was, you know, the Cardinals, we might not, you know, get past in opening week. And in reality, it was a missed field goal at the last second that, you know, that really, you know, got it, that let us, you know, squeak past the Cardinals. We could easily be 2-2 right now. Thankfully, we're 3-1. We're still on top of the division. I'm hoping the Broncos, who I think are really overrated, I'm hoping they lose to the Bucks, who I don't mind too much. I live in Tampa now. I'm originally from New Bedford, like I mentioned last time. But, you know, hope the Bucks can handle the Broncos today. I doubt it. But, you know, I hope something happens to where, you know, our other conference rivals, the other challenges in the conference can, you know, knock off, you know, can get knocked off like the Steelers did last week.
Yeah, man. I hear you. That's for real, for real. For real, yeah. It was a tough game. I want to thank my man Nick for calling in from Tampa Bay. Nick, thanks for tuning in and sharing your thoughts with us, for sure.
No doubt. Thank you.
All right, man. But just to go off of what Nick said,
the defense is something that I was really, really shocked and surprised with watching this game this afternoon. And just seeing how Tyrod Taylor, you know, this is a guy coming into the game where we looked at him as he's not really someone who's going to kill you in the pocket. You know, he'll make passes here and there. But at the end of the day, you figured he'd do a lot of damage on the ground with his feet, working his way down the field. Now you watch this game with Tyrod Taylor, and this guy looked like a surgeon in the pocket, a surgeon. He was absolutely, positively tearing up the secondary. And one thing that DJ Mees pointed out throughout the point of the game, he was targeting Logan Ryan a lot throughout the course of the game. He was throwing in his direction a lot. Looking at Tyrod Taylor's stats, he finished 27 of 39, completing almost 70% of his passes for 246 yards and a touchdown. I don't know about Tyrod Taylor's stats too much, but I'm trying to figure out the last time he threw for 39 attempts in a game. You know, this is a guy, like I said earlier, we're expecting him to do a lot on the ground, a lot on the ground with his feet. He only, throughout the course of the game, what did he rush for here? I think he only had 5 attempts, 28 yards. And this is a guy, Tyrod Taylor takes a lot of rushing attempts throughout the game when he plays, but not today when he had a chance to just carve up the secondary like he did against New England.
What he did this week, it was reminiscent of what Russell Wilson does week by week. Tyrod Taylor made a lot of guys miss in the backfield. He wasn't really rushing as much as you said, but he was extending plays with his legs and dissecting the defense. The Patriots are a great tackling team. We've seen it in the past 3 weeks. They know how to tackle, wrap up, but Tyrod Taylor made them look silly like Russell Wilson does to most defenders. I mean, Jabal Sheard, like Nick from Tampa said, look silly out there, couldn't get a hold of him. Jamie Collins couldn't get a hold of him. Our defensive tackles couldn't get a hold of him. He was just out there extending plays. And, yeah, Logan Ryan was mainly his main target. When Logan Ryan was on Woods had a field day, 7 receptions, 89 yards, targeted 10 times. When Logan Ryan was on Clay, Tyrod Taylor made sure to throw Charles Clay away. 5 receptions, 47 yards, 7 targets. I mean, Logan Ryan was getting bullied out there. And that's something we're going to really need to try to see what the Patriots can do in the secondary to fix that. I know Matt Patricia is going to look into that as well, because that was a huge, huge glare on the secondary. Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad. And, you know, I can look at the other teams that the Patriots have faced throughout the course of the season so far in the first 3 weeks. You know, Arizona, the Dolphins, the Texans. And those are teams where I'd expect more than the Buffalo Bills to have a real, you know, threat with their passing game. You know, Carson Palmer. I know Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, I think he sucks, but I'm expecting him to pass it down the field a lot. You know, I'm expecting, you know, Osweiler to pass it down. I know he has Lamar Miller over there with Houston, but I'm expecting him to try to make plays down the field to DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and those guys. But then you get to the Bills, and I'm going to say, okay, you know, Tyrod Taylor is going to try to make moves on the ground, pick up huge yards with his legs. I look at LeSean McCoy, who had a big game today. You know, he was making the Patriots look stupid out there, finishing 19 carries, only 70 yards, but it looked like a lot. Plus, you know, he made some plays catching passes as well, 6 receptions for 38 yards and a touchdown. So I'm figuring these guys are going to make plays on the ground. But nope, like we both just said, like our man Nick from Tampa just said, the secondary, the defense, they were letting these guys do whatever they want down the field. And this is something that Matt Patricia has to work with on the offense, because if you're letting the Bills, I mean, you got lucky, I guess you got those wins in the first 3 weeks, but if you're letting the Bills do that to your defense, to your secondary, it's going to be a long season, because you're going to face better teams, better quarterbacks, especially pocket quarterbacks than Tyrod Taylor, and some better options. They did this today without Sammy Watkins playing.
Yeah.
Think of a fully healthy Sammy Watkins on the field today, and the amount of damage they were doing on the field with Robert Woods and a Charles Clay. Sammy Watkins on the field, we could be talking about some serious problems. So this is something that has to be addressed with the Patriots defense, Matt Patricia, and the secondary too, for sure.
Yeah, and we definitely want to hear more people's point of views. We're about to enter our Harris segment, Harris of the Patriots Beat podcast, which is released first thing every Friday morning on CLNSradio.com and the CLNS Radio mobile app. Harris, this game wasn't pretty, man. Bills 16, Patriots 0, got shut out. What did you see in this game?
I mean, I saw a team that, you know, first 4 weeks of the year, no Tom Brady, basically no Rob Gronkowski. If you're going to tell me that out of those four games, they were eventually going to play one really bad one among those four, I probably would have believed you. That's just kind of how it works. You know, 3-1 to me, I think you have to view these four games in a total vacuum. You know, even if it's, you know, just four games, they still went 3-1 without Tom Brady or a healthy Rob Gronkowski. I think that's something to be impressed by. You know, people keep talking about, like, how bad the defense was. You know, sure, they did move the ball a lot, but, like, you know, they didn't give up, like, 30 points. They didn't even give up 20 points. Like, they gave up 16 points to a Bills team that, you know, if you have a half-decent offense that's led out there by a not-hurt third-string rookie quarterback, then maybe you probably have a better chance of winning this game. I think we're going to see in the next couple of weeks, once they get Brady back and Garoppolo's healthy, they might just put Brissett on the IR because I think his thumb is a little bit more injured than they were caring to let on. Clearly, the Patriots have been manipulating the media for, like, all week with this quarterback situation, but it didn't end up doing anything in the end because, you know, they just couldn't move the football.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with Brissett being on the IR. It didn't look right. He made some rookie mistakes out there on offense, you know, with that fumble when he went head on with the defender where he could have slid and the balls were floating. And all week I was, you know, thinking that Garoppolo was gonna start. I remember on Friday, Saturday getting reports saying, okay, Garoppolo's gonna start and, you know, Jacoby.
Yeah,
that
was some Kirk Manahan.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Patriots and their mind games with injuries, it seemed to really, you know, bite them in the butt this time. We didn't really get it in a rhythm. The first play, Edelman runs for, what, 90 yards almost? And then it gets called back, and from there just went downhill.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all. Okay, all around.
No, it wasn't pretty. No, I mean, the only issue that I had, you know, with people continuously – well, Logan Ryan was, like, I think the biggest culprit in this entire game. I mean, he was probably the one that, if you're going to look at either side of the ball, probably played the most poorly. I mean, he got replaced by Cyrus Jones midway through the first half, I think. So, you know, it's still going to be – it's still interesting with this defense because we don't really know how it's going to be fully healthy. I mean, Dont'a Hightower keeps getting hurt. Jamie Collins has been very inconsistent this year. I mean, the only people's name, like, another quiet thing is that, you know, even though he's up against Marquise Goodwin today, I still think Malcolm Butler played a pretty good game.
He had a good game.
Yeah, Devin McCourty and Jerron Harmon, Patrick Chung, they all did their jobs. I mean, they didn't get killed over the top. Like, sure, you know, the Bills would spring off some big chunks of yardage here and there, but, like, I don't know. I saw a defense that, if it was supported by a better offense, would have looked like a much better performance. They just didn't force any turnovers, I think, was the biggest problem.
That's one thing for sure with the Patriots defense you expected, you know, from what you saw in the first 3 weeks coming into this game. One thing that you wanted to see from the Patriots is forcing turnovers, you know, whether it's those tip passes that lead to interceptions, whether it's getting to the quarterback, what they've been able to do at a pretty consistent rate in the first three games. You want to see pressure that led to possible turnovers. And what we saw today was a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, like I said earlier, not a real pocket quarterback who can stand back there and really dissect the defense. But from he would have surely confused me today, because what we saw today was a guy who was dissecting the defense in every type of way possible, finding guys down the field. And when you have receivers standing wide open, catching open passes, you know, it was ugly all around. And I'm one guy who I've said for years now, I question Matt Patricia. I question him a lot in his schemes and whatnot. Obviously, you know, I've been shut up a couple of times over the past because, you know, the Patriots have won the Super Bowl. The Patriots have gone to the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Patriots have done different things. But I still a lot of times question the defense and Matt Patricia and, well, and what they're trying to do.
The one thing you should look out for with this defense, that they clearly wanted to make a game plan this time around of, oh, let's keep Tyrod Taylor in the pocket, let's contain his moving and running. They did an okay-ish job at it. They had some problems there in the second half. But, I mean, they went away from their system that they were doing in the first three games with that 5-2. I think it has a lot of reasons to do with Dont'a Hightower's injury or the fact that they were trying to stack the run to stop LeSean McCoy. But whatever it was, it didn't really work against his defense. Against his offense. But again, you know, as bad as they seem to have played, they only gave up 16 points. Like, they didn't give up that many points at all. They, you know, coming off of a game where they shut out the Texans, giving up 16 points to the Bills isn't that terrible of an outcome. Because if your offense can put up, you know, 23 points, all of a sudden you win 23-16. So I think it's still up in the air with how good or bad this pass defense is. They just kind of lack a little bit in the early parts of the game with yardage.
Yeah, definitely.
They have a lot of yardage. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you, Eric Harris, for your intake and once again calling in. We definitely appreciate it. That is Harris on the Patriots the Beat podcast here on CLNS Radio. Our segment with Harris was brought to you by FanDuel. Join our CLNS Radio Patriots FanDuel League. Compete amongst all the personalities at CLNS Radio, including Harris, myself, Mr. Mike Nice, and Larry H. Russell. Come out on top, win huge cash prizes every single week at the CLNS Radio FanDuel League. To join, go to FanDuel.com/Patriots. That's FanDuel.com/Patriots. And I'll tell you right now, guys, my FanDuel is looking pretty good because know why? I got Julio Jones. And you know what he did, Mike?
I don't want to talk about it.
You know what he did? 12 receptions, one TD, and, you know, a whopping 300 yards.
I tell you, he gave me the business.
Oh, you going up against him?
I don't want to talk about it.
Wow. I like to say, sorry. But we have the Blue Apron call lines up. Please call in 929-477-2386. We got 929-477-2386. We have Big Sam calling from Randolph. Big Sam, what did you see in this game, man?
I think there was more or less of what I didn't see in this game. Nah. You know, what I didn't see was any real emotion from anybody on the Patriots sideline. You know, I think with the first three wins that we got this season, that a lot of people weren't expecting us to do this well. I think the Patriots as a whole came into this game very flat. I think we were looking, our eyes were on to next week, you know, with the excitement of getting Brady back. And I think that we also got a little full of ourselves in the belief that, you know, we could win with having anybody behind center. And I think we overlooked the Bills team that always plays this tough, even though we usually give them the business when they come to Foxborough. You know, any team that's led by Rex Ryan and then now his twin brother, they're going to come to Foxborough and play tough. You know, they're not going to – Rex Ryan isn't going to lay down for Bill Belichick. I mean, sometimes he doesn't have a choice, but he's going to come out shooting every single time. And I think the Patriots this week just overlooked Buffalo. They probably thought that this was the easiest of the four games that they were going to have to play without Brady. And I think they just came in. It looked like there was a serious lack of focus on both sides of the ball. You could see it from, you know, the very first play of the game when Cyrus Jones, you know, all ran out of the end zone. Then when he realized that it wasn't a good idea, he almost hopped back in, almost caused the safety for kneeling back in, and then ran out, and we didn't even make it to the 10-yard line. So you could see that, you know, when the team starts off with mental errors that early in the game, you know, you start to question their focus. I think, you know, everyone in the stadium, the buzz around the stadium is, one more day till Brady's back. One more day till Brady's back. And we were overlooking the fact that there was a game to play today with a third-string quarterback with a bum with a bum thumb, who, you know, whose injury was way worse than the Patriots organization led anyone to believe. I mean, it's something they've been doing for years. You know, I remember years ago they would have Brady on the injury report, you know, all season long just to throw opposing teams off, you know. So it's not like it's something new. But if his thumb was as bad as it was, because you could tell even when he was playing out of the shotgun and the ball would come out, he couldn't grab it and grip it instantly. You know, a lot of those fumbles, a lot of those drops that he had when he was muffling the ball around and couldn't really set it, you could tell it was because of that thumb. He couldn't put any pressure on that thumb, and it's really hard to grip and throw a football when, you know, your thumb, and I believe it is it the thumb on his throwing hand? I can't remember.
It's not his throwing, it's the opposite of his throwing hand that he's struggling.
So it makes it hard for him to hold the ball and get a good grip on it before he releases. So, you know, I think the Patriots came in. This looked like the most unfocused I've seen the Patriots play in a really long time. It's really uncharacteristic of a Bill Belichick-led team, but I don't really think it's anything to really worry about. You know, you can't realistically, you know, you're going to have bumps in the road during the season, and this just happened to be one of ours. I think that if we were, you know, more focused, I think this could have been a game we could have easily won. But, you know, like if anyone would have said that we would have went 3-1 with no Brady and basically no Gronk and no Deion Lewis, you know, most of Pats Nation would have been absolutely content with that, you know. So
Sam,
hopefully.
Sam. I hear this crazy, man. Sam, all the point. I definitely want to touch on your points. But first and foremost, I definitely want to thank you for calling in, Sam, and sharing your thoughts with us for sure, man. Appreciate the call. But yeah, what Sam said for sure is something I really agree with. He touched on a lot of points, but one thing I want to say is, leading up to this game, and every time we face a Rex Ryan team, the media, everybody is so quick to just jump on Rex Ryan and just talk about the stats and how he pretty much barely ever beats the Patriots, ever. Rare. It's rare that he beats the Patriots. But one thing people don't really take into consideration is how much – I think Rex Ryan – is one team that gets under his skin so much that if anything, yeah, he's a head coach and he, you know, his job is to help his team, you know, win as much games as possible, try to help them get as far as possible, hopefully win a Super Bowl. We know that's not happening for Rex Ryan, but yes, that's his job as a coach. But if there's one team that gets under that man's skin that he probably just puts a little extra heading into each week, he probably puts a little extra oomph on the matchup, it's the New England Patriots. And yes, unfortunately, he gets his ass kicked by the Patriots all the time. But you have to believe he's going to try to put out the best effort he can. It's not his fault. Sometimes the team sucks. You know, it's not his fault. He's not as good of a coach as Bill Belichick. But you know Rex Ryan is going to put in a lot of effort. And today, I think it was a situation where on one hand, you had a quarterback who wasn't fully healthy. Not only is he not fully healthy, but he's still a rookie quarterback trying to, you know, find his niche in the league and really getting the groove and whatnot. That's on one hand. On the other hand, you have a Rex Ryan getting his Bills team so psyched up. To Rex Ryan, that Bills team, this is one of the biggest games of the season. You know, they're putting a lot of effort. You're going to New England against a rival. Rex Ryan is getting his team ready. So you have two hands. The Patriots struggling with what they're trying to do, you know, and their mind, like a lot of people probably think, they took this week off. They didn't take the Bills seriously, like Sam said. And on the other hand, you have Rex Ryan, a guy who's faced the Patriots, faced Bill Belichick so many times that he has his schemes and everything probably studied so much. It's a tough situation, but at the end of the day, the Buffalo Bills are walking out of Gillette Stadium with the win.
I mean, there's a lot of points I want to touch on that you and Sam brought up. One thing's for sure is with Rex Ryan, speaking on Rex Ryan, like I said last week, you know, when you and Alondra came on air, you pretty much predicted Patriots to pretty much handle the Bills. I brought up that Rex Ryan is going to get up for this game. One, he just came off the Cardinals win that shocked the world, and he's still on the hot seat. So this game was huge for Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. Now all of a sudden, they're 2-2, and that pretty much bumps them up into the second place in the AFC East, the sorry AFC East. It makes them a contender now to try to make the playoffs.
And then, hey, guys, just to jump in here real quick, couple of things to note. While Big Sam was talking about Brissett's thumb, saying it wasn't his throwing hand, it actually is his throwing hand, the thumb on his throwing hand, just to clear that up for you guys. And I know before FanDuel, we were talking about Julio Jones. We didn't wonder if anyone had ever had 300 yards in a game before. He is actually the sixth wide receiver in NFL history to have 300 yards in a game.
Six? Wow. Later on, if you can get us the other receivers who have done that, but yeah, that's crazy. Quarterback struggled to get 300 yards, and Julio Jones just gets that in the game. Wow, amazing. But back to the game. So it is Brissett's throwing arm, which makes more sense. Apologize about that. The Bills put up 16 points, and if I asked anyone, hey, the Bills put up 16 points, no one would really be shocked about that. Okay,
absolutely
that's what,
not.
Like, oh, 16 points, that's two touchdowns, a safety, whatever. That's not crazy. It's the fact that our offense could not get anything going, and they controlled the ball. They controlled the momentum. It seemed like every time you looked on the screen, Buffalo Bills had the ball. They had the clock. They were running it. LeSean McCoy was doing whatever he wanted out there. And that's when it became concerning, because now our defense looked tired. You didn't hear any names. You didn't see any sacks. And this is what, the second week in a row now where I haven't seen the Patriots really get to the quarterback.
And that's a reoccurring theme sometimes, I feel like, over the course of the years with the Patriots. And once again, I don't want to say it's Matt Patricia's fault. I mean, he's not on the field playing, but that's one thing that I feel like I always notice with the Patriots compared to other teams throughout the league. They let the quarterback sit in the pocket and have a field day sometimes. I'll go back to the Miami game in that second half where Ryan Tannehill threw over 300 yards just in the second half alone. It looked like he had all the time in the world to fry some bacon and eggs and toast some bread and still throw passes down the field in that game. And the same thing could be said today with Tyrod Taylor in the pocket. He had all the time in the world. And like I said earlier, this is not a guy who is supposed to kill you in the pocket making passes down the field. I don't know Tyrod Taylor's stats, his career stats. But 27 completions off of 39 attempts for 246 yards, that might be top five performance for Tyrod Taylor all time. I mean, since he's been in the league. That's probably top five performance for him, because this is not a guy who's sitting in the pocket throwing 40 times a game. I doubt it. I doubt it. But against the Patriots and against this defense today, he looked like, you know, this was nothing new to him. And a lot of that is just because the Patriots weren't able to get pressure on him. There's a lot of dummy quarterbacks in the league. You know, there's not everybody's an Aaron Rodgers and a Tom Brady and a Ben Roethlisberger. There's some dummies in the league. But if you let some of these dummies sit in the pocket and get all day to throw down the field, and on top of that, your secondary, when you got guys like Logan Ryan looking like dummies, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. And, yeah, they only put up 16 points. That just goes to show how bad the Bills are. You only get 16 points. You know, let this type of defense that was played today be played against, you know, the Arizona Cardinals week one in Arizona. They're probably putting up 40. Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, John Brown, Michael Fuller, they're probably putting up 40. But the Bills, you know, they got the job done today, only 16 points, but a lot of that at the same time is just the Patriots' defense was ugly.
Yeah, and one more point that Sam mentioned I wanted to bring up, the emotion. It definitely, watching this game, you definitely did not see any emotion out there from the offense or the defense, and maybe even like the coaching staff either. They just They had no sense of urgency. That it felt like they gave up early in the third quarter with saying, okay, Jacoby's not feeling right. This offense is not going anywhere. They're running all over us. Let's just be conservative. It just seemed like they really gave up out there. And you know when Brady comes back, that energy is going to be up there. It's going to be more uplifting. He's going to be on every player's butt, making sure that they're ready to go because that's just the player he is. And, you know, Jacoby's more of a laid-back quarterback, and he's a rookie. You know what I'm saying? He probably doesn't have the respect from the line and his receivers like that because he just jumped in. This is the second week in a row where he didn't even know if he was going to be the starting quarterback. So there was a lot of factors in there, but – like you said, like everyone's been saying, at 12:01 a.m., Tom Brady is back.
Yes,
and
sir.
Things will change. Easy as that. We didn't see much from Gronkowski, but I tell you this, when Brady's back, Gronkowski's not just going to have one reception, two targets.
Nada. He will put in work. I guarantee it. Unfortunately, I don't know the update with Martellus Bennett. You know, late in the game, I saw he had a reception and, you know, it looked like he landed funny on his shoulder, his elbow, whatnot. So I don't know the updates with him, if he's all right, if it was just precaution, maybe take him out. But hopefully, you know, everybody gets rested up, healed up, headed into week five. You get Tom Brady, the legend, the guy, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time to step in and be the starting quarterback again. And hopefully all is right in the world.
I want to give a quick shout-out to today's sponsors, Blue Apron and Casper. Blue Apron is a great service where they ship fresh ingredients right to your doorstep for fun and to cook meals with and for your family and friends. Trust me, they're delicious, and they come out to less than $10 per meal. And you can get your first three meals and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/CelticsBeat. Also, Casper's mattress is made with latex and memory foam, and you get to try it out for free in your first 100 days. If you don't like it, send it back. Go to casper.com/Celtics and enter promo code Celtics, and you also get $50 off your first mattress purchase. Would love if they had interest, would use these promo codes as if, because that will help us. It will help support us here at the CLNSradio.com. And we are now going to move on to our segment with Tyler Trudeau. Tyler Trudeau is our CLNS radio video correspondent, youtube.com/CLNSradio. Tyler, what did you see in this game right here?
Oh, unfortunately, I saw a lot, and it was just a tough football game to watch. I'm trying to think positively right now. If you told me right before the season started that we'd go 3-1, I'd be pretty happy with that. If you told me we'd lose to the Bills, I would tell you were crazy. But unfortunately, that is how it went today. And I can't believe that everyone, even myself included, does not ever give Rex Ryan or the Bills enough credit because they always play close games. All division games are close with the Patriots. I know everyone says that we have that the Patriots have a garbage division, the AFC East, but every game seems to be pretty close, at least one of the two games that they play each season, and the Bills definitely played great today. They did not really have an answer for LeSean McCoy, and Tyrod Taylor probably had one of the best games he's had in a few seasons, let alone his career. He just looked like a Pro Bowl quarterback, which he isn't, but he was able to pick apart the Patriots' defense that just seemed like they did not care at all. There was really no effort or energy on both sides of the ball, and I just was shocked with what lack of enthusiasm they had in the game. It was really pathetic at times.
Yeah, and one thing you touched on just now was not giving Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills enough credit. And I was saying earlier, you know, always leading up to Rex Ryan games against the New England Patriots, people just talk about how much Rex Ryan, and whether it was the Jets or the Bills, how much they just suck. They can't match with the Patriots. Bill Belichick is far more superior compared to Rex Ryan. And, yes, I believe all of that is true. Rex Ryan is a far more superior coach than Rex Ryan. But
yeah.
When you get a guy and like Rex Ryan, who faces the Patriots constantly, whether it was with the Jets, whether it was with the Bills now, they constantly face Bill Belichick and see his players and his schemes and whatnot. How do you feel that play? I know it was only 16-0. It wasn't a huge – it was a shutout, but it wasn't really a blowout. How do you feel that all plays in the part of, you know, Rex Ryan always going up against the Patriots, and especially in this game today where it seems like, you know, Bills had everything going for them and Patriots couldn't have everything going. Is that a lot to do with, you know, just Rex Ryan just having knowledge of playing the Patriots after all these years?
I don't think it has to do all of it with Rex Ryan out-coaching Bill Belichick by any means. I don't think that's the case at all. I think there is a big case of we were playing Jacoby Brissett today when I think everyone was thinking we'd have Jimmy Garoppolo under center for the Patriots. And that's another thing that is bothering me is that I knew that there were some concern when Garoppolo got drafted that they didn't know if he could handle the physicality in the NFL. We don't really know how healthy he is. The Patriots could have just been pulling our legs all week and making it seem to believe for strategy purposes that they were going to play Garoppolo just to have that sort of advantage. But I am just shocked that Garoppolo didn't play. And Rex Ryan may have coached a good game, and I'm sure that the familiarity with Bill Belichick and playing the Patriots twice a year every season for the past however many years definitely played some part of it. But Jacoby Brissett just looked like a rookie quarterback today. He is a rookie quarterback, but he really looked like one this week, unlike last week when he seemed like he was the second coming of Tom Brady or second coming of Jimmy Garoppolo. It just was a complete 180 of last week where we thought, oh, we couldn't do anything wrong last week. We really couldn't do anything right. A lot of sloppy mistakes on both sides of the ball. Cyrus Jones running out a couple of the first two kick returns, not a smart idea. So many penalties on both sides of the ball. None that really gave us, minus the first play of the game with the pass interference on Chris Hogan. That was really the only one that took away a really big scoring opportunity, but just a lot of penalties that just made it a lot more difficult for the Patriots to do anything, whether that was getting the Bills offense off the field and resting their defense or just building any sort of momentum with this offense. And then of course Brissett fumbled the ball when they had that great, amazing catch with Martellus Bennett. It seemed like whenever one thing was going the Patriots' way, it would instantly stop. It was just a struggle from the beginning, and I'm just getting nervous about Steven Gostkowski because he used to be Mr. Reliable, and I feel like since that missed point after in the AFC Championship last year in Denver, there might be something wrong with his head up there. He does not seem like the same consistent kicker we have seen. I think he's already missed 3 field goals this year, which is unheard of for him. And again, it was only 16-0. If we had Jimmy Garoppolo, if we had Tom Brady, I think we win this game, even with this sketchy defense that the Patriots had out today. But really, there was no energy. It kind of seemed like a later season game where they're kind of resting atop the AFC East, definitely fighting for the top seed or second seed in the playoffs, the AFC conference, but it just seemed like they were dead and not energetic at all. And on both sides of the ball, there was really no energy.
So I have a question for you. You brought up an interesting point, how Jacoby looked like a rookie here in New England. You know, New England Patriots fans, especially, we love to overreact. Just last week, all Belichick's a genius. He can coach anyone. Edelman can be on the play quarterback and we'd be fine. We're facing the Bills. And then this week happens, like, okay, Briss is a rookie, has a long way to go. And last week, you know, we had conversations on this show talking about, hey, maybe we should start thinking about trading Garoppolo for a second round or a first round, get some pieces, and Jacoby is our future. How do you feel like this conversation is going now about trading Garoppolo? Because you mentioned it yourself, like if we had Garoppolo playing, maybe this game would go a little differently.
I mean, I am still on the mindset of we should ride Brady until he really has a drop off, and maybe he drops off this season. We don't know. We will start to find out next week. But I really think that we're going to completely overreact. The media, the fans, everyone is going to overreact to this loss. It definitely isn't as bad as everyone is making it out to be.
I agree.
It is still just a disappointing loss because the Patriots should beat the Bills. That's how it should be. The Patriots shouldn't get shut out. But I think we just have to realize that Jacoby Brissett is a rookie, and he had an injury on his throwing arm, so with his thumb. So he really was doing all he could, and at least he showed up and went out and played, unlike Jimmy Garoppolo, because we obviously don't know how injured his shoulder is, but at least Jacoby went out there and played.
Yeah, definitely. Thank
so
you,
I like
Tyler,
that about him.
Thank you, Tyler Trudeau, with those intakes and those points. We'll catch you again next week. That's Tyler Trudeau, CLNS radio video correspondent. Follow him on Twitter at CLNS_Tyler. Head on over to the CLNS radio YouTube channel for Tyler's pregame videos as well as midweek report. Subscribe at youtube.com/CLNS radio. That's youtube.com/CLNS radio. MyBookie.ag is focused around providing a unique, personalized, stress-free gaming experience for each every one of our clients, no matter if you play on sports, casino games, or horse racing. MyBookie also offers its players incentives in the form of the best daily bonuses and special promotions. What are you waiting for? Open and fund your account today with MyBookie and start winning the bet. Go to mybookie.ag and use promo code PATS to get 100% bonus on your first deposit. Basically, whatever you deposit, MyBookie will match. Check out MyBookie.ag mobile platform and start enjoying the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you are on the go. Try it out today and you'll never miss out on winning a bet. Again, go to mybookie.ag and use promo code PATS to get 100% bonus on your first daily deposit. And let's find out what's going around the NFL right now that is presented by MyBookie. Right now, Denver is at Tampa Bay, and the score is 7-7, close game. You have L.A. at Arizona, 0-0. New Orleans taking the lead right now in the first quarter against San Diego, 7-0. Dallas is at San Fran, 0-7, San Fran leading that. And later tonight, you have Kansas City against Pittsburgh Steelers. That should be a really good game. Le'Veon Bell is back.
Yeah, man. See if he could do some big things over there.
8:30 p.m. on NBC Primetime Football. And earlier this morning in London, you had Indiana versus Jacksonville. Jacksonville squeaks out the win, 30-27. So a lot of interesting matchups, a lot of interesting storylines that are going on in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and I mean, one area that I want to touch on that Tyler was just talking about was the fact that I agree. A lot of people are going to see this game and overreact because it's a loss. And one thing with New England Patriots and one thing we're used to here is the Patriots don't lose often. You know, we're used to a lot of winning as Patriot fans. But people will see this loss, and on top of it being a loss, you get shut out by the hated Rex Ryan and a rival team like the Buffalo Bills. So there might be a lot of overreaction. And at first, when the game ended, and especially during Washington game, I was just down and pissed and just so upset with how the game was unfolding. But as I'm sitting here and I keep thinking about the game and what we saw compared to what we saw in the first 3 weeks of the season and what we should be expecting come week five and the rest of the season, I'm looking at this loss, DJ Mees, and I'm just like, you know what? The Patriots will be all right. Yeah. You lost to the Bills. Unfortunately, it was a shutout. It was an ugly game offensively, defensively. But, you know, nobody suffered a season-ending injury or anything like that. You know, hopefully all the guys are intact. You know, like I said earlier about Martellus Bennett, you know, taking that hit. or taking that hard fall and looking a little shooken up. But for the most part, we should have everybody ready to go as long as a good week of practice goes well and everybody stays healthy and no injuries take place. Coming into week five, DJ Mees, this team should be right on point in the team we expect them to be. Maybe it'll take some time for Brady to get back in the groove and, you know, get everything going with the receivers and the tight ends and whatnot. But moving forward, this loss today should not really shake up the Patriots or the Pats Nation at all, and they should be fine moving forward.
Oh, of course. Once Tom Brady steps foot in that building, it's like, okay, it is go time. Our leader is back. Our leader that's been in our league for the past 15 years is back, and we're ready to go. But you're right, Mike. We overreact here in New England as Patriots fans. We overreact, and, you know, we don't lose much. So when we lose, it's all hell breaks loose. But let's talk about some positives, because I did see some positives in this game. And one positive was the guy you mentioned, Martellus Bennett. For the past four games, man, whether he's blocking or receiving, he's just been making an impact. 5 receptions, 109 yards. He had that incredible catch against 2 defenders for 58 yards that Jacoby unfortunately fumbled the possession after. But he's been looking really good out there. Martellus Bennett has been a spark for our New England offense.
Yeah. Martellus Bennett has come in this season and has been solid without Gronkowski. And as Patriots fans and as just everybody watching the team, you just can't wait to see that time on the field where Martellus Bennett and Rob Gronkowski just take over a game. And this wouldn't be anything new to Pats Nation. We saw that type of 2 tight end great play a few years ago when Rob Gronkowski and a name that a lot of people don't want to say anymore, but I have no problem saying it, Aaron Hernandez, when those two guys were on the field, it was beautiful football. They were doing great things, and that is what we are expecting this year. Now, yes, you have Brady out for the first 4 games, which is unfortunate, and then next to that, you have Ron Gronkowski, who is still trying to work his way back into game shape and get his way up to game speed and whatnot. But, you know, maybe not week 5, even though me personally, I'm feeling like week 5 against the Browns should be a blowout. But maybe not week 5, but soon enough, Pats Nation, I promise you, soon enough, it's not going to take long for Brady, Gronkowski, Bennett, the rest of the offense, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels. It's not going to take the defense is going to have questions. You know, I'm not talking about the defense right now. I'm talking about the offense. It's not going to take long for this offense to start clicking on all cylinders. Just wait for it.
Yeah, we have Tim from North Reading. Tim, this game was ugly. Bill 16, Patriots 0. What do you want to talk about?
Sup, Marvin. Sup, Mike. I hope you guys are doing well. Congrats on your radio show. Anyways,
thanks, boss.
I think the biggest thing that I have to say is if this game hurt anyone, it's probably Josh McDaniels. There was a lot of articles last week saying that Upson McDaniels, he will not be back next season. He will be head coach probably next year. I mean, who knows? But I think this game really hurt him, saying that, all right, well, maybe that game with last week with Brissett was just luck. And for him to put up a goose egg, I think, against the Bills' defense, I think out of anyone in this game, it hurt him probably the most. I think for the defense sake, it was just a sloppy game in the overall scheme. But and I think the other point that you guys have touched up on was Garoppolo on I think it was Marvin mentioning on trading Garoppolo. I think the biggest thing for Garoppolo with me is how much trade value does Garoppolo have? Does one game really prove enough that he has a lot of trade value? So I kind of wonder on that sense of if the Patriots should trade away Garoppolo or not. But I can understand why it's talked about. But in the overall conclusion, it was a rough game. But you guys touched up on it, that people are going to overreact. And that people can't expect next week against Cleveland that for the Patriots to bounce right back. But this is just a sloppy game in general, and I think they'll be okay going forward. But guys, have a nice job, you guys. Are you guys doing well?
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thanks
a lot, Tim. Appreciate the call for sure.
Tim
I
brought
agree
up
with Tim a lot. I agree. Go ahead, DJ Mies.
I want to speak on the Josh McDaniels thing that he brought up. I'm not going to really put it on Josh McDaniels this week because, yeah, I saw some articles too, you know, how McDaniels ready to start coaching, being the head coach and everything. But this week was just a weird week. One, you don't know who's going to be quarterback. I didn't know who was going to be the starting quarterback until I woke up this morning, to be honest with you guys. I really had the idea that it was going to be Garoppolo. And you have Jacoby, who once again is just a rookie, so you have to limit what he does. The offense was lackadaisical. I can't even speak. Man, I feel like the Patriots right now. The offense was lazy. Jacoby wasn't healthy. You could just see that the balls were just floating over everyone's head. It wasn't precise. So Josh McDaniels was limited. And you'll see once Brady comes back, you know, his brother, they call each other brothers, they're going to get things going and start it up. I mean, sometimes I was questioning Josh McDaniels these past 4 weeks too. Too much running, I believe, at point, limiting Garoppolo, limiting Brissett. But this week, he couldn't do too much with his thumb, I believe. I think that was limiting him.
One thing I want to bring up that Tim said, and I'm going to get into it a little bit later because I know we have another segment to get into. But Tim talked about Jimmy Garoppolo's trade value. And one thing, DJ Mies, we've talked about Jimmy Garoppolo's trade value a lot, you know, these last couple of weeks. And even coming in through the training camp in preseason, we talked about his trade value a lot. But over these last couple of weeks since he's gotten hurt, maybe his trade value has shifted a little bit and teams are maybe changing their opinion on Garoppolo. And it's not Garoppolo's fault. It's not, you know, him getting injured's fault. Maybe it's the Patriots' fault. But I'm going to get into that a little bit later. I know we have another segment to get into, DJ Me, so why don't you get into that?
Yes, we're moving on to our Charles Rustic segment. He's the Patriots beat staff writer on CLNSradio.com. Charles, what's going on, man? There's a lot to dissect in this game. Bills 16, Patriots 0.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's definitely was a big bummer to see you know, the offense not put up any points. But you know, I don't think there's anything to really dwell on. You know, Tom Brady, Rob Ninkovich, they're coming back this week, and I think you'll see them really flip the script here. And I think the offense is gonna get back into the normal form that they usually are. And then hopefully the defense can, you know, with Tom Brady being back, you know, it's not so much pressure on them anymore.
A question about the defense. Do you feel, because DJ Mies and myself have gone back and forth about this, you know, last couple of games and especially coming out of today, do you think when it comes to the defense, what is the major issue that is really hindering them? Is it really the secondary and just the personnel and who they have out there? Does Logan Ryan suck? Is it in Matt Patricia and what he's trying to do in terms of scheme and whatnot? What could be the major issue that's really hindering this defense and allowing guys like Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Tannehill to pick up big yardage down the field against this team?
You know, one thing that's been kind of bothering me is just the defensive line being able to kind of get home because, you know, I think you'll see them put some pressure on every now and then. It's great. You know, like Jabal Sheard had a couple sacks last week. Chris Long's had a couple sacks over the first few weeks. But I think when you see great defenses in this league, when they're able to kind of impose their will on other teams and when a big situation occurs and you know that they're going to, you know, send the whole line after them and then they come up with sacks or they come up with big pressure, you know, I don't feel like they've been able to do that quite yet because today you saw Tyrod Taylor, you know, really be able to scramble around and then find openings, find holes to run or, you know, find people downfield and obviously wrapping up. I think, you know, that was a big issue today. You know, there's a couple plays in a row where Sheard missed and then Collins missed. And I think they just kind of need to be able to get home on their pressures because, you know, every now and then they're really pressuring the quarterback pretty well. But if they can just intimidate that quarterback, hit him constantly, you know, I think that would be a huge difference in the stopping teams because they can get him in the third down situations, but they're just not stopping them every time.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, and we always say, and one thing I always say for sure, Patriots not being able to put pressure on the quarterback has been a problem that's been reoccurring, I feel like, for the Patriots, whether it be a couple of games this season or even previous seasons before, not being able to get to the quarterback. But in terms on offense, you know, yeah, we don't want to really harp on this game too much. It was a loss. It was a terrible loss to the Bills. But we're getting Brady back. And me personally, I feel like next week against the Cleveland Browns, we're going to see a show that Tom Brady is going to put on for Pats Nation. What do you feel like we can expect possibly for Tom Brady stepping back into the starting position in his first game of the season?
You know, I expect Tom Brady to do pretty well. You know, I don't think he's going to go out there and throw 7 or 8 touchdowns, but I do expect to see, you know, kind of a fiery Tom Brady, and I think it's very realistic that you see him throw, you know, 4 touchdowns for like 250 to 300 yards. You know, I'm not really expecting him to go out there and break records. You know, I think we'd all love to see that. But I really expect it to be kind of more of your normal good quarterback game. I don't think he's going to let the moment get to him too much, you know, and have too much of a chip on his shoulder and, you know, play with too much anger. I think he's going to be smart about it. And, you know, he has missed the first 4 weeks. But, you know, I still think, you know, it's not like he's going to be that rusty. But, you know, I think we'll see him get, you know, 3-4 touchdowns, a good game, close to 300 yards. I think Brady's going to be back. The offense is going to be back. And, you know, I think it's going to be a really solid game.
Yeah, I mean, when Brady comes back, he has the perfect opponent to attack once he gets back. You know, the Cleveland Browns are not what you would call a scary or intimidating defense. If Brady starts off really early, you know, gets going, I think that'll be perfect. It'll be a perfect time to for Brady to get in rhythm. Because let's be honest, I think we all have Cleveland losing against the New England Patriots next week. But a conversation we've been having today is Jimmy Garoppolo. And Mike Nice, I know you wanted to bring it up because you've been talking about Jimmy Garoppolo's trade value and if it's dropping or if it's increasing.
I mean, yeah. Jimmy, one thing, first and foremost, I want to thank Charles for calling in for sure. Charles, appreciate the call. Look forward to talking to you later on in the season, next week as well, man. Thanks a lot.
No, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. But, yeah, when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, we've talked about it all season long, DJ Mees, his trade value. And like I've stood fast in my point that once you're a backup quarterback for the New England Patriots, your trade value is going to be high no matter what. I don't care if you touch the field once. You don't care if you touch the field at all. Once you're a backup quarterback for the New England Patriots, you're going to get a lot of calls coming your way. But in this case, Jimmy Garoppolo had a great first game, and in that second game he played well all the way up to the injury. But then he got hurt, and then he's been out. He missed game 3. He missed today's game against the Bills. The thing I want to say is the fact that it was rumored that the Patriots were coming out and saying they're pushing for Garoppolo to play because Tom Brady has played with this injury, so Garoppolo should be able to do it. Then you got guys out there like Michael Felger of, you know, 985 The Sports Hub and CSN coming out and saying Brady would have played if he had the same injury as Jimmy Garoppolo. There's a lot of these leaks coming out of Garoppolo basically not being tough enough. He can't get on the field and play with this injury. Is that possibly playing into maybe his trade value? I mean, maybe other teams don't care and say, hey, he's a product of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I don't care if he's soft as tissue paper. Bring him to RT. But at the other hand, could other teams see that and be like, this guy gets hit once and can't get on the field, and it's an injury with his non-throwing arm. And you got people out here saying Brady could have played through that. And maybe not just Brady, anybody. If it's your non-throwing arm, it's not the arm you got to make passes with, could you still get on the field? But with Garoppolo's here, you know, still taking his time. And even up until this morning, a lot of people thought Garoppolo would have started today. But out of nowhere, I think to shock a lot of people, Jacoby Brissett was the one that got called to be the starter. So is that taking a hit maybe to Garoppolo's trade value? Or do other teams just maybe not care and say, hey, once he's played for Bill Belichick and played behind Tom Brady, he could possibly be the star of our team moving forward.
I don't think this injury is really going to impact Garoppolo's trade value, because if I believe that this injury is serious, this AC joint that's in the shoulder is serious, because if he was hurt and he could still throw, they would have put him out there, because he gives us our best chance to win. A 70%, 80% Garoppolo will give us a better chance than what we have, a 80%, 90% Jacoby Brissett, I believe. And so it just comes down to Jimmy Garoppolo is really hurt. And at first, the Patriots tried to play it off, saying, oh, it's minor. And maybe at first they did try to press, oh, yeah, Brady had an AC joint sprain. He played through it. And then they started to realize that, you know, Garoppolo's is a great tool. It's a step over Brady's, and it's a little more serious. And they're taking the time. Patriots are not going to put Garoppolo in harm's way, because at the end of the day, if he's not a trade value, that's our potential future quarterback. What happened? You never know what can happen to Brady in these next weeks. Brady could get hurt at any moment, at any time. And he's, what, 39 years old? One injury could end his career, and then we really have to start looking into a Garoppolo and a Brissett. So why put him in harm's way and just rest him up? Because he's too hurt. I've been reading reports. He can't even raise his right shoulder up.
But it's weird to me. Why come out with those? I know you heard about it too. Why would Patriots, or the rumors possibly leak of the Patriots are forced trying to push Garoppolo to play because Brady's played through this? Why even come out with those reports? I completely understand what you're saying, DJ Mees. It's just weird to me the fact that the Patriots would come up with those reports saying they're pushing Garoppolo to play through this injury because Brady has done it. But at the same time, the point you just brought up makes complete sense. Don't rush Garoppolo back if he's not fully 100%, because at the end of the day, you never know what could happen with Tom Brady when he gets back. And just in case, you know, knock on wood, we don't want this to happen, but just in case, you know, Brady were to go down with injury, we all like Brissett. You know, no one's mad at Brissett and what he's done in these last two games. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are probably more comfortable with Garoppolo being the legit backup. In this current situation, you have three quarterbacks on the roster. You wanted to go Tom Brady, the starter, Jimmy Garoppolo, the second string backup, and then Jacoby Brissett as a third string, ready to go just in case as an emergency. But who knows? You know, we're all hoping at the end of the day, you want, one, everybody to stay healthy, and two, everybody to get as healthy as possible who's maybe dealing with anything now. That's all we can hope for.
Definitely. And I'm looking at the clock right now, and Pats Nation, Mr. Mike Nice, do you know what time it is?
Oh yeah, great part of the show where we talk about the good and the bad. But when there's the good and the bad, there's also the sorry. And today was a sorry game that we could definitely agree with, DJ Mees.
Yeah, it was pretty sorry. It was, as Patriots fans, while watching this game, you were just depressed. It was sad. I had my head on my arm, just sulking, watching. It wasn't entertaining. There was nothing to be excited about. Even when the Patriots are on offense, you weren't convinced anything was really going to happen. It was just a sad, sorry game.
Yeah, and I think me, you, and the rest of the Pats Nation, we can probably agree today that there's a lot of things that we're sorry about today's game on the Pats side of things. But one thing that stood off for sure was the Patriots defense and just how they let Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy, and the rest of the Bills offense perform today. It was just a tough situation all around, and the Buffalo Bills offense kind of had their way with the Patriots defense.
Definitely so. Let's start off with the stars. You know, we can't be all negative all the time. What are the stars? Who are the stars of this game?
I mean, one guy we definitely got to go with in terms of being a star of today's game is Martellus Bennett. And, you know, unfortunately, like I said earlier, he kind of went down after one play where he's holding his arm or his shoulder, his elbow, and hopefully he's fine from that. But Martellus Bennett had a great game. You know, 5 receptions, 109 yards, you know, no touchdowns, unfortunately. But it was a solid game for being a tight end. You know, those are numbers that we expect him to have, Gronk to have. Who knows throughout the course of the season. But if there was one person who really stepped up and shined throughout the course of the game for the Patriots offense. I got to give it to Martellus Bennett for sure. Martellus Bennett, in this sad game, you stand out as a star for the Patriots.
Definitely. But unfortunately, when there's the good,
there's
the
bad.
And when you're bad, we tell you, sorry. This could go to many places, anybody, anywhere. What are we doing? What are we doing with this sorry, Mike?
I mean, yeah, like I said, there's a lot to go around. You know, a couple of guys that were definitely nominated, I would say, was Cyrus Jones. He had a tough game out there on special teams, especially the kick return, looking pretty stupid out there. And I'm not even going to lie, you know, he looked pretty dumb out there for sure. And then Jacoby Brissett made a couple rookie mistakes. Not only, you know, did he have that pretty bad fumble early on in the game, but I know his thumb was hurting and whatnot, but he did miss a couple throws out there to some guys that you know, he should have completed. But at the end of the day, like I said, I think all around the Patriots defense had a rough game for sure, and it was just a sad performance from them.
So, with that, here from CLNS, Pat's defense, we got to give you a big ol'
sorry.
You know what's crazy? Last week, you know who won the star of the week? Patriots
Pat's defense. Pat's defense. They had a hell of a game last week shutting out the Texans. And then you go from shutting out the Texans to being shut out by the Bills. What a crazy turnaround.
Personally, I would have, if it was my pick, I would have had the Patriots offense as the sorry of the week. Because the Patriots D was pretty bad. They got exposed by LeSean McCoy, Woods, and Tyrod Taylor. But we scored no points. We got shut out by the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. It was tough all around. Like I said, the sorry could have gone in various different places. Being shut out and not being able to score in the Bills is bad. But at the same time, letting Tyrod Taylor stand in the pocket and just dissect your secondary the way he did, In my opinion, I think that's even worse. But it was just a bad game. We're all here, Pats Nation. You know, don't feel down in the dumps off of this game.
Not at all.
12:01 a.m., Tom Brady can hop in his expensive car, leave his nice expensive house or wherever the hell he lives, and drive his behind to Foxborough, Massachusetts.
You think Brady drives? I think he drives his own car.
Whatever, Uber, your driver, whatever the case may be. Take yourself, bring a fold-out cot, bring a sleeping bag, whatever the case may be, Brady, and just live at Foxborough till Sunday. That's all. Wait, they're on the road, they're going to Cleveland. We'll just live at Foxborough for the next couple of days until they're ready to hop on a plane to go to Cleveland to take on the Browns. You spend enough time home with Giselle and the kids. Time to bring yourself to Foxborough and really get in that football mindset.
Definitely. So you brought it up. Next week, New England at Cleveland, 1 p.m. start. Mike Nice, Mike Alonji, I want to hear your opinions. What are we going to see next week? I mean, we were all shocked and wrong against this Bills game. But what should we see against the Cleveland Browns next week with Tom Brady behind center?
What do you think, Alonji?
Well, guys, I mean, I've for the whole time, this whole Deflategate thing has been going on, I've been thinking, well, it's definitely going to be like 75-0, right? Like, that's what you would think. You would think Tom Brady would come out there and just throw 100 touchdowns and just absolutely bury them. Realistically, I mean, we've seen some serious issues with this defense over the past couple weeks. It looks like they're getting beat by team speed. Like, Buffalo had a lot of team speed, and that beat them. And Cleveland, for as bad as they are, they got some dynamic players over there who have some pretty decent team speed. So I think that could give them a little bit of an issue. I don't expect it to be much of an issue because the coaching difference, in my opinion, is just – it's just night and day. You know what I mean? So – all that considered, I do think there'll be a little bit of initial rust with Tom Brady. I don't think he's going to come out and throw a touchdown pass on his first drive or anything like that. But I'm still picking. I mean, I think it's going to be maybe 31-10, 31-16. I'll say 31-16. That's what I'll say. Patriots. Oh, wow. And by the way, guys, I do have, we talked earlier about Julio Jones and his 300-yard receiving game. He was the sixth receiver ever. So he was the sixth receiver ever to have 300 yards in a game. I got the other five for you right here. Mm-hmm. So Julio Jones, exactly 300 receiving yards, puts him at sixth place all time. Number five, we have a gentleman by the name of Cloyce Box, who played for the Detroit Lions in 1950. He had 302 receiving yards.
Box.
We also have Jim Benton, 303 receiving yards for the Cleveland Rams back in 1945. We also have Stephon Page, 309 yards for the Kansas City Chiefs back in 1985.
Sheesh.
Number two on the list, Calvin Johnson back in 2013, 329 yards against the Dallas Cowboys.
I think I do remember that. Wow, how quickly we forget.
And then the number one, the most receiving yards in the history of a game, Flipper Anderson in 1989 has 336 receiving yards for the Los Angeles Rams.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
So there's your list. Julio Jones is the sixth player ever for 300 receiving yards. Mike, I'm so sorry you had to play against him this week in fantasy. That's
tough. I know. I take my butt whipping. I take my lashings. It's okay. But, yeah, moving on to this week five matchup, Patriots at Cleveland. Looking at Cleveland, Marv, Alonji, in all honesty, this team has yet to win a game in the 2016 season and the preseason. They lost all four of their preseason games. They haven't won a game yet to start the season. The Cleveland Browns suck. It's pretty bad. And on top of that, you got a pissed Tom Brady coming back. This offense during the course of the training camp offseason, we thought this is a dynamic offense. I'm thinking Tom Brady comes back and the Patriots give the Cleveland Browns, you know, their fifth loss of the season by a score of 35-14.
35-14. I mean, you guys really have Brady scoring 30-plus this week. And I am with you guys. I have this around 31-21 Patriots. Like Alonji said, they do have some dynamic players. You got to watch out for Crowell. You got to watch out for Pryor, who's stepping up this year.
I'm so
really,
shocked that Tyrell Pryor. I'm shocked at that guy. Wow.
Yeah. So you know we can't go into this week sleeping, lackadaisical. That's the word I was trying to say earlier. I got it now, and I think we'll be ready. Brady's back, and it'll be smooth sailing.
Yeah, man, it should be good to go. Like I said, Brady is pumped. Got to be pumped. Once this game ended today, Brady started packing his bag, kissing his children, kissing his wife, and telling them, you know, it's been a great 4 weeks here at home, but daddy got to go. So he's packing his bags, getting his driver to come down, and he's to Gillette Stadium tonight, 12:01 a.m., ready to go.
Once again, Patriots 0, Bills 16. This is the post-game show, and it will be available for on-demand download by searching for the CLNS Radio New England Patriots post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. When you download our feed, you'll also get the Patriots News Feed podcast, our daily news podcast hosted by our content manager, Michael Longy. While you're at it, make sure you check out the Patriots Beat podcast hosted by Harris Rubenstein, which is also on iTunes, Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. And you can also check out Tyler Trudeau's Patriots T-Game Show video segments at youtube.com/CLNS Radio before every Patriots game. Today's show was brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel.com/Patriots to join our league. Casper Mattresses, www.casper.com/Celtics for $50 off any mattress purchase, and Blue Apron, blueapron.com/Celticsbeat for three free meals with free shipping. And lastly, MyBookie, mybookie.ag, promo code PATS. I want to thank today's callers and everyone who tuned in. for CLNS executive producer Larry H. Russell, Patriots content manager Michael Longy, my co-host Mike Nice. I'm Marvin Azan. See everyone back here next week when the Patriots take on the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, sir. And this has been the New England Patriots postgame show live, powered by CLNS Radio Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for all New England professional sports. See you next week.